If you're the cooking queen in your house like I am, let me drop a kitchen hack that's been a total game changer for me. Primal Kitchen. I'm always on the go juggling a million things like work deadlines and school pickups, so finding time to eat right is tough. Primal Kitchen makes it super easy to whip up meals that check all the right boxes, like honest ingredients I trust and delicious flavor. They have everything from unsweetened ketchup to barbecue sauce, avocado oil mayo you'll want to eat by the spoonful, and dressings that double as marinades. Genius, right? If you want to make quick, simple meals you can feel good feeding yourself and your family, trust me, Primal Kitchen has you covered. You can find Primal Kitchen at Target, Walmart, or any of your local grocery stores, or you can save 20% off your entire online order with code PODCAST at checkout on PrimalKitchen.com.
Old Man Winter here. If I had it my way, it would stay winter all year long. Short days, wind chill, black ice, and a good polar vortex. Oh, heaven! Wait, is it getting warm in here?
Your cold snap is over, Old Man Winter. Spring has arrived.
Spring.
Spring is here, which means it's the perfect time to get away in the Hyundai you've always wanted. Visit the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, where you can get great deals on all of our award-winning Hyundai models, like the tech-filled Tucson and Kona, as well as the spacious Palisade. Enjoy wherever you go with the peace of mind that comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of complimentary maintenance. But hurry in. These deals won't last. Add more joy to your journey at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the Hyundai Tucson. Now, during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offers end soon. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
When something happens to your car, you might say, but what you really need to say is something that can actually help.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And just like that, State Farm is there to help you file your claim right on the State Farm mobile app. So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
All righty, hour number three of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. We'll head out to the guest line right now. Welcome in the former NFL quarterback, longtime national and local sports talk show host. You can catch him mornings in Houston. And that, of course, is Sean Salisbury, kind enough to join us once again on the Zach Gelb Show. Sean, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for doing this. How you been?
I'm doing great. And congrats to you for all your great success. It's awesome to be on with you, brother. Thank you.
Well, I really do appreciate those kind words. I got to start you off in your neck of the woods with CJ Stroud. I had a chance to talk to him at the Super Bowl. I asked him if he thought he was a top five quarterback in the NFL right now. He said he believes he's a top four, top three quarterback in the league. How many quarterbacks do you think right now are better than CJ? Because I have him personally as the fifth best quarterback in football entering the 2024 season.
I believe he's in the five. Now, the question is, are we, and maybe for CJ, it doesn't even matter, Zach, is this for over the next 5 years? Are we building a decade franchise, or is it for 2024? For him, he may fall under all three of those categories, right? I mean, Rodgers is coming back. You obviously got to put him in there. We know about Lamar and Joe Burrow when he's healthy and Mahomes. But what's not to like? While it may be a smaller body of work since it was just a rookie, but there's other things you see about him that aren't just cosmetic. I mean, the guy walks into the locker room and engages. He gets buy-in. There's no better thrower from 12 to 22 yards and down the field with accuracy that has the guts to know when to take a shot, but also the judicious enough to know when not to try and force something in there. He's well ahead of his time. And I went through this, and I'm glad you said when he said that, we went through it on our show, every team, and said, okay, 5 years, 3 years, who do you want more? I didn't get past five either. I'm with you and I'm with him. And I don't think he means that like, look at me, because players respond to him. I think it's simply production, performance. He doesn't pay attention to the outside noise. He does not have rabbit ears. And if he does, he sure used it to his advantage when he came out of Ohio State. The city loves him, and he's a great player, accurate with a big arm, leadership. And those guys, Zach, you've been around him, you've interviewed him. The guys who do it like that, they're different. When you talk to Mahomes, when you talk to Burrow, they're just different. And we don't know how to bottle it up and sell it, or we would. Yeah, for the next 10 years, next 5 years, next 3 years, you give me C.J. Stroud in the top five. I personally believe that he will be a Super Bowl champion before he's done, because there's that it factor that none of us can coach or teach.
For the next 10 years, would you rather have Caleb Williams or would you rather have C.J. Stroud?
I'm going with the, and you're asking me because that's a Trojan now. You're asking me about my USC Trojans and the local guy in Stroud.
I'm putting you in a tough spot, Salisbury.
NFL level that he, what's that?
I'm putting you in a tough spot, Salisbury.
Hey, no, that's okay because I always go with the, I've seen the proof in a rookie year. Now, if all of a sudden next year we're having this conversation and Caleb goes out and does what CJ Stroud did and is spectacular and an awesome playmaker like we saw him, it seemed to be every week in college because he had no defense to help him. But today I'm taking Stroud. Stroud's a better pure thrower of the football. We've been seeing that since he left, you know, high school and in college. He's always been able to throw it. We shouldn't be shocked by that. It's how fast he took over an offense, that he understands how to manipulate and see coverage and get through his progressions, and the old pocket presence. Burrow has been so good at that. We know Brady was good. He's got that trait. He's not going to beat you with his feet a million times, but the ability's there. Give me Stroud now because it's still an unfinished, you know, a question that's not fully answered. We have some stuff we have to find out if Caleb Williams transfers to the NFL. I know this, and I saw about 95% of his throws over the last 3 years, meaning Caleb Williams. Listen, you can, when you plug the tape in, the guy can play. He's a tremendous talent. But can he handle it with a team that's not, doesn't have the offensive personnel that maybe he's used to having? Is he going to have the right coach to get him in position to succeed? I'll take Stroud right now because he's proven to me that we haven't even seen him play his best football, and he's already shown that he's one of the five or six best players in the position in this league at his position. I'll take him.
And it's crazy. Sean Salisbury here with us. One good year out of a quarterback, and it just changes the whole perception of that organization because the Texans were in a bad spot. They don't. It's not like they have a lot of elite talent right now on that roster, and you get the right quarterback, it just changes the whole vibe of that building. You look at the Bears, they haven't had a quarterback in forever. Do you think, with the knowledge you have of Caleb Williams, that he has what it takes to change that organization around within a year or two?
Yeah, you know, most quarterbacks, there's the group that's, you know, working their butt off to make it. There was a fifth-round draft choice or pick. And then there's that group in the middle that's not the elite five or six. When we say elite, that's, you know, the Prescotts and the Cubs that are great players. You can be a great player and not have a Super Bowl ring or not be, you know, making $50 million a year. There's a lot of guys that live in there, and then there's the next level. Back to Stroud real quick. You're right. What he did, and the great ones, you saw it in Brady when he did it. We see those traits in guys that elevate the building when they walk in. Everybody seems to get better. You take, which was a three-win team, and then they win 10. That's not by accident. And he shows you stuff that you know is sustainable. Now with Caleb Williams, listen, the only question I think people have about Caleb Williams is the talk, whether it's banter, rumor, hearsay of this stuff. Is he a leader? Does he get buy-in? Is he a diva? Is he selfish? You can't watch him on tape and say the guy's not a playmaker, even if it's not old school, sit in the pocket, 1, 2, 3, and throw it, or take a hitch and throw it, which Stroud has. With the Chicago Bears talent, and Fields is a talented guy, I think that Caleb Williams is enough of a playmaker with his arm and his feet that he can elevate them. But if they kept the same personnel and you stuck Caleb Williams there, is Caleb Williams taking them to a Super Bowl in the next 3 or 4 years with the similar personnel? That answer is no. It's not. Now, you upgrade it. He's got the ability. Do I think he can elevate players? Yes, but I've got to see more of it. Listen, we can all speculate. The college game's different. I saw Kurt Warner's tweet a couple weeks ago about watching how it's trying to evaluate the college guys now because there's so many different, you know, the sideways football, screen game, bubble screen game, to evaluate how they transfer or translate to the next level is hard to do. But the skills are there. So, listen, I'm not sitting on the fence on this. Do I think that he's going to turn him into a Super Bowl team overnight and do what Stroud did to them? I don't. I think there's some growing pains. Do I think he's got the ability and there's an it factor about him? Yes. But my whole thing is I don't care how talented you are. You have to walk into the building, and without asking for people to follow you and go side by side with you, they got to want to do it. And just the way you carry yourself. And I know it sounds cheesy and elementary, but it does. You know what forced leadership is. When you force it, it doesn't last. And there's a difference between a motivated quarterback or person and a disciplined one. Motivation is temporary. Discipline lasts a long time. Stroud's got it. I'm hoping Caleb Williams does. I think he's a phenomenal skill set. And he does have an it factor. But I think early on he's going to need some good players around because a lot of those guys get into the hero worship, the hero thought, where Caleb Williams, like at SC, felt if he didn't score 40 and they had to make every play, they couldn't win. And he was right. But the Bears do have a little skill. But listen, whether you draft him or you keep Fields and go get seven new players and draft picks, better players. I always laugh when people say, well, look at the team this guy has. Of course he's a good quarterback. Well, isn't that what we want? Montana with Rice and Roger Craig. We want Randy Moss with Brady. That's what franchises and general managers do. Put good players around great quarterbacks, and then you win Super Bowls. So they're not ready. And Chicago, and currently, even with Caleb Williams, is not going to be playing in February. They're still going to need to build around him. I think he's probably a little bit better, more advanced in the pass game, but I still think Fields has a future if he gets with the right team, whether it's the Bears or somebody else.
Talking to Sean Salisbury right now, I know fit is such an important thing where you go in the NFL, but who do you think will end up being the better quarterback? Are you more of a fan of Jaden Daniels or is it Drake May?
Man, different types of quarterbacks. I fell in love with Jaden Daniels' game from the first year with Brian Kelly to the second year. His initial year at LSU, feeling a way out. And I saw him a lot as a freshman when he was at Arizona State before he transferred because that's my former conference. And to watch what he did when he first got there, they didn't take shots down the field. So the question on Jaden Daniels wasn't athleticism, leadership. It was, what's he got to do when you got to make those plays vertically and you got to take shots at the right situation, and how will he respond? The transformation of his deep ball game and down the field game was unbelievable. Now, I know he's got two pretty damn good receivers to throw it to, but you still got to put it in that window, the old sniper, aim small, miss small mentality. His improvement in the down the field game, the ability to take over a game, it's like a good point guard, Zach. I know what a basketball fan you are too. The point guard that can disrupt a game without scoring is the type of point guard you want. He's having one of those days, he's not shooting well. Can you go get me Jason Kidd 14 assists and 16 rebounds? That's who Jaden Daniels is, even though he put the numbers up and should have won the Heisman and earned it. But I saw improvement in a guy who commanded everything. And he beat you with his feet. He beat you with his arm. He beat you with his leadership. If I'm picking today, the second pick in this draft is Jaden Daniels. And I understand why people and some think that Jaden Daniels could jump ahead of Caleb Williams. It's not going to happen. But if for the next in 10 years, I think we'll be saying both are starting quarterbacks. I'm taking Jaden Daniels in that one because I think he's a more versatile player and a more consistent performer on the field. I'll take him, but I do like Drake May's ability to throw the ball, and he's a big physical presence.
And the Giants at six, I think, has turned into a fascinating conversation because it feels like one way or another, regardless of what the order is, we're going to see Williams, May, Daniels somewhere 1, 2, and 3. Then at six, you're already starting to hear rumors about J.J. McCarthy going to the Giants. And some may say, well, why not Michael Penix Jr.? Now, McCarthy's being built off potential and that he's been a winner, and they didn't ask him to do as much as Michael Penix Jr., where he carried that offense at Washington, even though he had a ton of great wide receivers, but they won because of him. Where do you kind of fall in line? If the Giants are definitely taking a quarterback at six, you have those three off the board. Would you go McCarthy or would you go Michael Penix Jr. or maybe someone else?
I've been on McCarthy on my show since the middle of the fall. I think North Carolina basketball for this one. Back when Dean Smith was coaching the Jordan, that group, where Anton Jameson, Vince Carter, those guys who 16, 17, 18 points a game, 20, when they got to the NBA, they all three erupted scoring the basketball. Not that Dean Smith didn't know how to coach him or Michael Jordan couldn't score, but they worked within it. It's the same in Michigan. They play physical. They line up in two backs a lot. They utilize his feet, run inside zone, RPOs, and ask him to throw. They want him to throw at Michigan in that 20, 22, 24 range, and he's accurate. He's a big physical kid who can move, and he wins. And I know that's the object. When people say, well, yeah, he's a winner, but it's not spectacular. Well, do you want 5,000-yard passer and an 8-game winner, or would you like to have a winner who keeps winning and goes 18 of 22 for 218 yards and no picks and throws two touchdowns and beats you and rushes for 40 yards? I'll take that guy. Listen, I never had that movement. I'm a pure pocket guy and throw it, but the ability to put pressure and stress on a defense and change the way they game plan, that's what J.J. McCarthy will do. So when people say, yeah, but he didn't put up gaudy numbers, all you got to do is watch. If he's well-coached at the next level, he will expand in bandwidth his passing game. I think Michael Penix, I love his story. I love the way he rips it. I think if you draft him in the second round or the third round, I think first round's a little too early. I do. Now, his production in college said it isn't, but I think the age is going to affect him, even though you and I mean, what, 26? I think it's a little overblown, but he's got great experience. I think he makes a team and maybe a starter down the road in a really good way because I love the kid. I just think McCarthy 10 years from now is going to be a far better player 5 years from now, because I just think he's more versatile. His body hasn't been beat up as much. He does not lose at any level for that point. And that's the object of this. I would take McCarthy fourth. I actually think there's probably some that even think, well, you know what? Maybe McCarthy 5 years down the road can chase down a Drake May. I don't think the Giants, maybe they'll take him. I don't think he's lasting past the Vikings or the Broncos by any stretch of the imagination. So I get it. They're not winning a Super Bowl with Daniel Jones. They'll go out and get Russ Wilson. His best football is behind him, even though he got a little better this year. You're going to need something fresh and new. And why not a guy who knows how to win? I think he'd be a good get. But if you don't get him there, you're not getting him any later than the 10th or 11th or 12th pick, because the Vikings in Denver are going to pounce, and they should. I'll go with McCarthy as the fourth best. And he may, in the long run, end up being better than one or two more of them if his leadership skills continue to translate to the NFL level. He'll be a better passer in the NFL than he was in college. I think he's got that in him.
Where do you think Sean Salisbury, Justin Fields, is going to wind up when it's all said and done?
If you're looking, think about the spots that are open, Zach. Think about this for a second. What? Your team, the team in New York, the Giants. I mean, you go in and you've got a chance. I mean, you're the starter now. I mean, while Pittsburgh, Tomlin's ability. Listen, I wish I'd go back and play. If you said who's a coach that just does a phenomenal. We know the Andy Reid's and Belichick's. I think Mike Tomlin's as good a coach as we've had in 30 years. I do. The buy-in. I don't care what they're saying about, well, they don't, you know, when the players vote on the franchise, the survey about the organization. But when it comes to the coach, the dude just doesn't lose, and he does it with all kinds of different bodies and players. So for me, Pittsburgh would be a good spot. The problem is you're still going to have to make sure the weapons around him allow him and his work that'll be incumbent upon Justin Fields to do a lot of lonely work, work when nobody's talking, working in silence to advance his ability to beat you when you take away his legs. Because you go over the last 30 years, name me a guy who was a runner first, passer second that won a Super Bowl. You're not going to find him. You go all the way to Steve Young, Elway, Kurt Warner, Ben Roethlisberger. They throw it first, and then now we're at a point where we love them to extend to pressure the defense. If you get both, you'll win a lot of championships, like Mahomes, Josh Allen's a guy, Lamar Jackson. We see them. But you got to deliver the ball from the hula hoop in the pocket. If you want to win on time, throwing receivers open with accuracy in this league and lead them when all else has gone to hell in a handbasket. So I think Fields has got an enormous amount of ability. He's not a polished passer. He's got to be better coached than he was in Chicago, or better coached in Chicago if they decide to keep him and go get him weapons.
I know
Pittsburgh, maybe Minnesota. Cousins leaves to Atlanta, but you're still a ways away from the polish. But I can tell you this, when he's going and if he's coached right, there's a lot of ability. He's not ready to go in and be handed a job anywhere else, I don't think, than those two places.
So Justin Fields could be on the table for Pittsburgh. Today, you had this report out about Russell Wilson, how there's mutual interest. Maybe at 20, they take Michael Penix Jr. if he's still on the board. You go through all these options. I think they're all better than Kenny Pickett, but I just don't think the Steelers are going to move off of Pickett. I think they're going to give him one more year. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm with you. So that's the thing. And what are you giving up for Justin Fields?
Probably a second-round pick, I would say. Second-round pick, I would say.
Yeah, that's what I said on my show. I said, I don't think you're going to give a first, and you're going to hold, knowing that they want to draft Caleb Williams, if they do, you're going to hold them hostage, say, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You're going to take this, or you're going to deal with it and maybe have to get something less later. I'm with you. I don't think, considering, you know, with the coordinator situation with Matt Canada and him being gone, as they try to adjust this, I think they also think, let's try Kenny one more time. Let's see if Kenny Two Gloves can go out and get this. Because really, we've seen some spectacular, we've seen some awful, and we've seen a lot in between. But this will be the biggest year for another good run for people to look at Kenny Pickett different. I'm with you. And Mike Tomlin's a pretty loyal guy, as is that organization, a very loyal, should I say. So I'm with you. They may not want to give up an asset. They say, let's run it back with Pickett. We'll jump back into this thing next year when there's, once again, the Quinn Ewers and guys that are available. But one thing I know, they're not going to be picking high, because Mike Tomlin's teams always just sitting in that area of, we're going to win 9, we're going to win 10, we're going to win 11, draft purgatory. But I love him, and I'm okay if they give Pickett another role. They're not winning a Super Bowl anytime soon with him at quarterback, although I think he does have some throwing skills. Put it this way, Fields is a better two-dimensional player, which is obvious, but Kenny Pickett can throw it. I just want to see Justin Fields with good coaching and good players and see where that takes him, whether it's in Chicago or somewhere else. Hell, and if he stays in the division because Cousins leaves and he goes to a team like that. We finally saw a guy like Jordan Love get a chance to play, and look what he's done. Maybe it'll be the same for Fields. When I say play, play with a good roster that's well-coached, that isn't constantly changing their coaching staff. But I'm with you. I think they run it back with Pickett one more time. And if you bring somebody in, maybe it's a veteran like a Russ Wilson that you pay a little bit of money to. But I don't think that Pickett's going to go in there or they're going to move him just yet. 2 years is too soon, I believe.
Got about 90 seconds left. Sean Salisbury, before we let you run, what's your message to Russell Wilson now? Because the way we look at him is totally different. And I didn't think he played as poorly as what some said this past year.
No, he played better. There is no question about it. And a lot of, there's the cheese factor that comes with it, yeah. The Subway commercials. And listen, when you're married to a celebrity and he's a celebrity and had a good run, and listen, Russell's got that motivation as a rah-rah guy. Some people it rubs wrong. And let's face facts. 2 years ago, the first year he's in Denver, they got fleeced. It was a horrible deal. All the money, that's well documented. He didn't forget how to play. But when I watch him, there's something a little hesitant about him. Maybe it was because Hackett was there and he couldn't get into the mix. They just didn't fit. Maybe Sean Payton and him didn't fit. He's not pulling the trigger with aggressiveness, not only just throwing it, but running it. And then when you feel like you've either lost a city or lost a team and their belief in you, what do? You try a little too hard. You work a little harder to do things that aren't natural for you. I feel like with him the last couple of years, a lot of things have been forced on the field, during interviews, during commercials. For Russ Wilson to get back to his best football has been played, in my opinion, and he played better last year. I think that Russ Wilson needs to go back and treat this like he was a third-round pick that had a baseball future too and got to Seattle and Matt Flynn's elbow was bothering him, and treat it like, you know what? I'm going to treat it like I'm a third-round pick trying to make a team. Get rid of all the celebrity. Go back to the grinder and allow your talent to take over and let it rip. Maybe we'll see a different Russell Wilson. His decisions over the last couple of years have waned, yet the guys had up to that point was on a fast track to the Hall of Fame. He's a hell of a player in the past, but we may have seen the best of Russ Wilson, but I think I root for people's comebacks, and maybe he can find himself somewhere else, but he's got to go back to treat it like he's trying to take a job, not that he's been handed a job.
He is Sean Salisbury. Sean, always appreciate your time. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Awesome, brother. Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
You got it. There he is, the great Sean Salisbury, joining us on CBS Sports Radio. Very, very high on J.J. McCarthy. And I think there's a lot of potential with J.J. McCarthy. I've watched every Michigan game during his career. And when I see J.J. McCarthy, there's a lot of untapped potential. I thought in the TCU game, even though they lost, J.J. McCarthy, if they would have just let him run the ball a little bit more, he was brilliant. And this past year, they did what they wanted to do to win football games. And that was run the football. So, he's the one I'm most curious about. Like, I am all in on Caleb Williams. I am all in on Jaden Daniels. Drake May, I don't believe it. Michael Penix Jr., I think if he went to a place like Minnesota, he could be successful. And I think the talent around him is the most important thing. I think he's just a good quarterback if all things work. But I think the biggest boom or bust guy in this draft is McCarthy. Because he could be like a Daniel Jones where it's like, even though Jones had that one good season. But if he starts to get everything going and they start to figure out untapped potential means you haven't done it yet, then it's like, maybe it's one of those guys in a few years, like where you say, watch out. But for McCarthy, I've leaned more on the side that I think it's going to go more in the wrong direction than it is the right direction, even though I loved what that Michigan program's been able to accomplish the last 3 years. Coming on back, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports.
Old Man Winter here. If I had it my way, it would stay winter all year long. Short days, wind chill, black ice, and a good polar vortex. Oh, heaven! Wait, is it getting warm in here?
Your cold snap is over, Old Man Winter. Spring has arrived.
Spring.
Spring is here, which means it's the perfect time to get away in the Hyundai you've always wanted. Visit the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, where you can get great deals on all of our award-winning Hyundai models, like the tech-filled Tucson and Kona, as well as the spacious Palisade. Enjoy wherever you go with the peace of mind that comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of complimentary maintenance. But hurry in. These deals won't last. Add more joy to your journey at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the Hyundai Tucson. Now, during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offers end soon. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
Oh, should we start this show?
Yeah, I'm down. Just buying a car on Carvana first.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, it's super convenient. I already got pre-qualified in 2 minutes. All I had to do is answer a few questions.
Ooh, that's helpful.
And now just customizing my down and monthly payments.
Ooh, that's a very fair deal.
Yep. Boom. Just bought a car. And you get to take me to the Carvana vending machine in a couple days to pick it up.
Ooh.
I'm kind of busy.
Visit Carvana.com to finance your next car.
Financing subject to credit approval.
If you're the cooking queen in your house like I am, let me drop a kitchen hack that's been a total game changer for me. Primal Kitchen. I'm always on the go juggling a million things like work deadlines and school pickups, so finding time to eat right is tough. Primal Kitchen makes it super easy to whip up meals that check all the right boxes, like honest ingredients I trust and delicious flavor. They have everything from unsweetened ketchup to barbecue sauce, avocado oil mayo you'll want to eat by the spoonful, and dressings that double as marinades. Genius, right? If you want to make quick, simple meals you can feel good feeding yourself and your family, trust me, Primal Kitchen has you covered. You can find Primal Kitchen at Target, Walmart, or any of your local grocery stores, or you can save 20% off your entire online order with code PODCAST at checkout on PrimalKitchen.com.
All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. There's sometimes you see a story and you go, ah, that can't be true. And most of the times, it's like, up, it's one of those gotcha moments where it wasn't true, but you thought for a second it may be true, or maybe you were hoping that it's true. So today, when I read that 57-year-old legendary boxer Mike Tyson is going to be squaring off against Jake Paul in some Netflix special, I'm like, huh? And it's going to be at Jerry's World? And it's going to be in July? I'm like, this can't be true. I don't know. Jake Paul has a boxing career where he's been 9-1. He lost to Tommy Fury, which is a little questionable. But it has been more of a success. It's been definitely successful, more successful than anyone thought. Like when he was fighting Woodley originally and some other guy like Nate Diaz, people were like, I don't know. Even if it's a crossover, I don't know if Jake Paul's going to win. And he's 9-1 through 10 fights. So there's a credit to Jake Paul, but there's also an extremely polarizing side of Jake Paul. And I would say, Samter, just gauge it me a number here. We put out a poll question. Who do you want to see win? Mike Tyson or Jake Paul? Now, I see Stu and Samter laughing at the question. Let me just not sound like an idiot here, which sometimes that is very easy for me to sound like an idiot on this very fine radio program. I'm fully understanding that the overwhelming majority are going to want to see Mike Tyson beat the snot out of Jake Paul. But there is this wonderful yet horrible device and application that we call Twitter. And rarely is there an overwhelming majority. Like, you don't see a lot of poll questions that are like 90, 95% where everyone's on one side because you have trolls, you have idiots, you have morons, you have dopes, and then trolls again. But I think if we put out that poll question, even with Mike Tyson's pass, I'm saying this is like 92% people would want to see Mike Tyson defeat Jake Paul.
You're way off.
More?
Way off. It's 99.9%. The only people...
There's no such thing as 99.9% on Twitter.
Well, 99% then. If you're the only people who are going to vote the other way are Jake and Logan Paul and their family.
92. I bet you if we put that poll question out there, I'm saying it's like 92 or 93.
I'm saying it's higher.
Because you got to remember, in the social media world, Jake Paul is a big deal, big deal, big maca.
Yeah, but even the people who like Jake Paul still want to see Jake Paul get knocked out.
It's actually brilliant by Jake Paul.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Because, so let's take it from what Samter's saying. I think most people are going to say, even though he's 50, like the only way you're not picking Mike Tyson here is just because of his age. And I know there's sometimes we see videos of Mike Tyson kind of limping around. And then there's other times where some moron on a plane tries to pick a fight with him and he beats the snot out of him. Or They're, I saw him sparring the other day, and he still looks like he has it. So you can make the case it's kind of like riding a bike. You never forget how to do it with Mike Tyson. So I think the only reason why someone would not take Mike Tyson, and I still don't think it would be many people, would just be because of his age that he's closing in on the big 6-0. But that's the only reason why you wouldn't take him. So from a Jake Paul standpoint, you lose. All righty. You get the crap beat out of you. I don't think you get humbled. You get your money. You get your views, all that stuff. And it was, okay, at least you did it. But what happens if he wins? Like, if he wins, you get to say, everyone thought my boxing career was a joke. Even though Mike Tyson is 57, he's still one of the baddest mother bleepers on the planet. And I beat him. Like, there's, well, I was going to say there's nothing to lose. If you're Jake Paul, but like you could die. Yeah. It is Mike Tyson.
I mean, like his mobility and ability to like walk.
Like, honestly, there's been a lot of dumb takes here. What, 10 years, 11 years, right, CB? I know that we celebrated the 10-year anniversary. Was that a year ago? I'm terrible with time. The network's been around for 11 or 12 years. There's been a lot of dumb takes. Anytime you have a platform where you have people talking, different hosts throughout 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, yeah, there's going to be some takes that you look at and you go, wow, really dumb. The dumbest take I've ever heard. And I'm not just saying this because people think there's like a big feud between me and this person. Patriots and the Jets is not really a rivalry, folks, when one person always wins and the other person always loses. But David Shepard maybe had the dumbest take ever, where he thinks just because Shep is in shape and he does all these like marathons and things like that, that in a ring, he wasn't saying like punch for punch he'd be better than Mike Tyson, but he thinks just because he could dance around the ring, he would outlast the great Mike Tyson. All what? 5'8" Shep is, maybe like 155 pounds, and he is a string bean.
Hold on, you're this is a joke, right? Like, no. Shep never actually said that.
Oh, not only did he say it.
Wait.
You bring it up to him, he will adamantly defend it. Wait. And also, he went after people that said that he was crazy. I think it happened when Shep was working with JR. That's yes, that was an actual take that did occur, and he still stands by it. Dumbest take ever on CBS Sports Radio. Congratulations.
Zach, you've known me for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
For me to not have words to say in a situation, for me to not...
You're speechless.
My brain can't...
Stuttering Santa here.
My brain doesn't work right now.
Put it this way. Forget Mike Tyson. Shep wouldn't beat Samter in a fight here at CBS Sports Radio. I've seen Samter with rage. Samter with rage against Shep with rage. I'm taking Samter 10 out of 10 times. Not even close.
I appreciate the... Listen, I could fight. I've been in a couple fights. I'm not doubting that I could potentially take him. However, Shep is an elite, a very good marathon runner.
Okay. That doesn't mean you're a good fighter.
So there is a good chance that he would just
endurance?
Rope-a-dope me and outlast me.
Okay. Can Shep throw a punch?
I would be surprised.
He would be like an NBA player. Hold me back. Hold me back. Hold me back.
No. But forget about me. Like,
Mike Tyson, he said. Yeah. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard a human being say. I don't, like, I'm someone that sometimes my friends go, you don't realize your own strength. Like, they've said that to me. Even with me not being able to realize my own strength, I'm able to realize that I would not feel comfortable getting in a ring with Mike Tyson because he would beat the crap out of me in about 3 seconds. One punch. See, Shep's argument was he could find a way where Tyson wouldn't connect one punch. Yeah. One of the greatest fighters of all time can't land one punch on stupid Shep.
Shep.
All right?
I mean, he realized that the ring is a finite space, right? Eventually, Tyson would catch him. And eventually, Tyson would just put him up against the ropes.
Yes.
And one punch, and Shep's head would actually fall off.
It would explode!
His head would land in the seventh round of the seventh row of the crowd.
Yeah, he'd probably bite Shep's ear off.
You can run around all you want. Eventually, there's ropes around you. You're going to get caught. You're going to run out of room. Tyson will just close in and one punch. And forget about like 8 rounds,
and
9 rounds,
dead.
10 rounds. It's going to be 30 to 40 seconds into the first round. You can run all you want. You're going to get caught very quickly, and you're going to die.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, let's get back to Jake Paul.
I think the only one Shep could beat up in a fight here at CBS Sports Radio is probably Jaxter. Maybe Stu. That's probably about it.
Here's the thing. Stu is feisty and he's tough. I think we do have to show Stu how to punch better.
I've never been in a fight in Zach's defense.
Yeah, so for Dude, this, nice. When I go to give Stu a fist, he's gotten better at this over the years. When I give him a fist bump, he takes his thumb and he puts it inside the fist.
Okay.
And so if you're trying to punch somebody like that, you're going to break your hand in one punch and he's done.
My thumb. Yeah,
so he'll
yeah.
have to learn how to punch first. But once he learns that, like, very, you know, generic technique, he'll be fine. He's tough, he's strong, and he's a feisty guy.
Think about that.
He just needs to learn how to punch.
So I get invited to a lot of these boxing things that, like, we don't go to. I kind of want to go one year when Mike Tyson is at one of these things and just have Mike Tyson on the show and show a video of Shep and say, hey, champ, this, I can't say words that I want to say in the radio right now. This jackass, sorry, Mom, I know my mom doesn't like when I use that word, thinks he could take you in a fight. Just like crazy. Do you have interest in this fight, though, Tyson and Paul? Because at first I was like, no. And then I'm thinking about it and I go, it's in the middle of summer. There's going to be nothing to do. I'll probably watch it because I just want to see what Mike Tyson looks like. And I want to see if Jake Paul could hang. Like when Mayweather and McGregor fought, I knew it was going to be a joke, but actually being better when I thought. And McGregor did hang in there with Mayweather more than I thought. And even Mayweather had some respect at the end of it for McGregor. Like boxing hasn't really resonated with my generation. Mayweather and Pacquiao just waited too long to fight. And it was just a joke. You did have Wilder and Fury. Those were great fights. I absolutely love that. But really, like, my generation kind of has generated more to UFC than ever boxing because boxing hasn't put out great fights for us. And whenever they do put out a great fight, that Adelaide Bird messes it up with the scoring.
And honestly, even Wilder Fury, it was interesting.
No, it was great. That was a great fight.
Sure. But it was as good as you're going to get in this generation. I remember the Holyfield and Bo fights, the trilogy there, and the Hagler Hearnses and the Sugar Ray Leonards, like the Roberto Duran's No Mas, like these amazing epic battles between warriors in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Some of the best fights you can possibly imagine.
Sound like my dad. Do you remember Rumble in the Jungle, young man?
But and not even that far back, but I'm just even talking about, like, even Tyson Holyfield or some of these amazing fights. Tyson Spinks, when we didn't realize how good Tyson was.
Yeah.
Foreman, when he made his comeback. Some of these fights were amazing. We haven't had a fight, an actual boxing match, that I've been excited about in 2 decades.
Yeah,
right?
For me, it was Fury and Wilder. Because what happened the first time,
I had to force it.
And then the second time was awesome. And through the second time, it did generate buzz for the third time. And it made me really turn on Deontay Wilder. But you know what should happen? The winner of this fight, Tyson and Jake Paul, gets Shep. That's what we should set up. Jake Paul wins, he goes up against Shep. Tyson wins, he goes up against the immortal David Sheppard. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Man, I don't even know if Shep could beat Hickey in a fight. And Hickey's like the nicest person around here. And he thinks he could beat Mike Tyson because he's just going to be able to sprint around the ring. Give me a break. Oh, it's amazing how some people just overrate their athletic ability. There's a reason why we're all talking here behind the microphone, okay? All right, there is a reason. Let me just remind everyone about that. Latest CBS Sports Radio update with... Hold on. Ack, you beat Shep in a fight, you think?
No.
No, okay. So we found another person that Shep could maybe knock out. Mike Tyson, Shep. If we had you on play-by-play, how quickly do you think that night would end for Shep?
Oh, it's less time than Michael Spinks lasted.
Down goes Shepherd. Down goes the good Shepherd.
If he gets 10, it's like one of those things, like, you know, dancing with the mechanical, not the mechanical, but going with the bull. If you could last 10 seconds if he can last 10 seconds, he should like get like X amount of dollars.
It's like Family Guy when they do the Mets season. Opening day, here's the first pitch, and the season's over.
It's awesome. That's one of my favorite clips of all time.
Yeah, because you're a pain in the ass Yankees fan.
It's so good, though.
David Sheppard steps into the ring. Mike Tyson punches him, and his life is over. Here's the latest CBS Sports Radio update with the Ackman, Rich Ackerman.
When something happens to your car, you might say... But what you really need to say is something that can actually help.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And just like that. State Farm is there to help you file your claim right on the State Farm mobile app. So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
All righty, it is a Thursday on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, so we'll end the show out with a Zach Gelb Show PSA.
Warning! 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 Warning!
It's a Thursday. What do you have to say? It's the weekly Zach Gelb Show PSA.
Who's with me? Let's go! Come on!
Hey! All righty, there's a problem in my apartment building. I don't post on these message threads that the building provides if there's any problems or you're trying to sell things or stuff like that. Like, I live in my apartment. I go to the gym in my apartment. I walk to work from my apartment. I go home, I sleep, and that's about it. Like, I'm not interacting on the message boards inside the apartment. But there's been an issue because on my floor, it sounds like someone's playing like an action movie each and every night. Now, it hasn't really bothered me, but it's bothered others on the floor. So this has been a month issue. And now someone a month later is just responding to it. And the message was this today. Following up as I'm seeing this thread just now, I have to agree, there are extremely loud thuds and stomping coming from what I believe is apartment. They list the apartment. This has been very disturbing throughout both daytime work hours and random hours late into the night, 11 p.m. to 12 a.m. or early in the morning. It has abrupted peace and has been quiet, quite an unfortunate annoyance. And then they continue to say other things. Here's my PSA. When an issue is hot, like this was a month ago, you don't respond a month later with several paragraphs. And not only that, I'm sorry to do this, folks. You could complain about the noise if it's past like 10 p.m. during the day because it's disrupting your work time hours. Well, get to the office, all right? All right, I understand there was a period where we all worked from home. You could probably go into an office, but this is like ridiculous. I would never send a complaint about the noise level of a building during the day. Heck, I used to work overnights. I would never send a complaint when I was trying to sleep during the day. But I just think it's ridiculous to complain about the noise level of a building during the day. During the day, blast your movies, blast your music, do whatever you want. And then at 10 p.m., it's a cutoff. You got to be respectful of people. So that's my Zach Gelb Show PSA. It's the ridiculousness going on in my building. People complaining that it's disrupting their work time hours. Get back into the office. Let's go. This ain't 2020 anymore. All right, Santa, what do you got?
I'm about to explode here. I'm about to just blow up. I honestly hadn't really thought of a PSA. And then that last segment happened. And I, Shep, what are you talking about, kid? You can outlast Mike Tyson in the boxing ring? You can beat Mike Tyson because you can run around long enough to tire him out and then actually win the fight because Tyson's going to get too tired to fight you in the final rounds? Are you crazy? Okay, Jim Boeheim said this the other day. When you're talking about Jay Williams, there are some people who say such stupid things that they should never be able to get onto the radio or TV ever again. That take by Shep is not only the dumbest take I've ever heard in sports, it's the dumbest take I've heard in the history of life. I honestly cannot fathom what he's saying. I can't fathom it. If he were to say I can last one round with Mike Tyson, I would say that's the dumbest take I've ever heard. But at least you're saying it's one round. For you to say that you can last the entire fight because you run marathons and you can win the fight against Mike freaking Tyson is so stupid you should never get behind the mic again. Dave Shepard, I love you. You're a nice kid. You're a nice guy. You're smart. You know the NBA. But you should shut up and never, ever talk on the radio or behind a mic ever again. That is so stupid. So dumb.
I took my headphones out and I could still hear every word that you were saying.
It is so dumb. I can't do it anymore. I will never look at him again the same way. I can't. That is so dumb.
And here we are today at the funeral of David Sheppard on CBS Sports Radio. Alrighty, Stu.
Well, I don't think I can top that. I'll just say this.
Send us home, Stu. Save us.
I am sick of changing the clocks, and I know we do this twice a year. And I'm absolutely sick of losing an hour. It's either bad or worse. Mm-hmm. And I think the worst is when I leave here and it's pitch black out. So the fact that we're not going to have that anymore, that's great. But the fact that I now lose an hour of my weekend because we changed the clocks, I hate it. And it's just so annoying. I just wish we'd have the same time all 365 days. That's it.
I used to love it when I did 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern time because it would spring the clocks forward right at 2. I'd always get on the air at 3 and go, that was the best hour of radio that I've ever done. That's awesome. Wow, I will power rank this. I had the worst PSA today. Samter, 1. Stu, 2. Yours truly, in at number 3. That was something. Samter, you need to sit down.
Like, I am sitting.
You need... Yeah, I thought you were standing.
PSA number 2! People who overestimate my height.
You need to take a sip of water. You need to do some J.J. McCarthy-like meditation. And you just need to relax. I thought we were going to see my producer die on the air. You were so red. I've never seen you that mad.
I feel the vein in my head pulsating right now.
Alrighty. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Big thanks to Jamal Mashburn for joining us in studio, Mike Norvell, Sean Salisbury, each and every one of you. We will hopefully all be back tomorrow. I know I will. I know Stu will be. Samter, I'm worried about that blood pressure, my friend. I am worried about that blood pressure. Talk mignon, everybody. We out. Bye. Peace. Really, peace to Samter.
Old Man Winter here. If I had it my way, it would stay winter all year long. Short days, wind chill, black ice, and a good polar vortex. Oh, heaven! Wait, is it getting warm in here?
Your cold snap is over, Old Man Winter. Spring has arrived.
Spring.
Spring is here, which means it's the perfect time to get away in the Hyundai you've always wanted. Visit the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, where you can get great deals on all of our award-winning Hyundai models, like the tech-filled Tucson and Kona, as well as the spacious Palisade. Enjoy wherever you go with the peace of mind that comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of complimentary maintenance. But hurry in. These deals won't last. Add more joy to your journey at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the Hyundai Tucson. Now, during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offers end soon. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
When something happens to your car, you might say, but what you really need to say is something that can actually help.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And just like that, State Farm is there to help you file your claim right on the State Farm mobile app. So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.